I'm quite thankful, Bazalwana, and very excited to introduce one of our sons in the house. He came to this church as a child of 7 years, attended our children's church, then became a teacher at children's church, and then he's been involved in cell groups, in all kinds of things you can imagine. One of the things that God has assigned me to do is to train leaders. I may not know everybody's name, but I know you. Many of you, I know you. And sometimes I'm able to see the future. And I'm able to know the path of people. And that's why I've tried to structure what we do here in church. I see myself as a trainer or a coach that God has sent to coach his team. Because there's many people who are incredible, incredible leaders, incredibly gifted. And so this person then rose through the ranks, started serving Mokere King. Then we brought him in as a pastor. And then I assigned him to go to Cape Town. We only had the one church in Cape Town. And today, it's quite evident God's hand upon his life. We have 9 churches in Cape Town. 9, yeah. And I'm being honest with you, Bazalwana, it's one of the greatest humbling things for us to see that these 39 years in ministry are paying off, where you have to start from scratch with 35 people in a classroom and throw yourself at the work of God. And over time, you see the grace of God in the fruit of the ministry coming up. And so much as I was zigzagged about not preaching today, I don't mind at all. And so I want us all to welcome from Cape Town one of our sons in the house, Pastor Sam Masihu. Can you put your hands together?
Hallelujah. Come on, Grace Bubble Church, every branch, every cathedral, give him praise, give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. If you know what God has done in your life, your praise must be more strong. God is a good God. And all the time, I believe that we are blessed to be in church today. Yes. Today is a special day. Yes. Today is an amazing day. Yes. Today is what we all celebrate and we say it's our presiding bishop's birthday. Yes. And not only that, for the whole month of April, it is Founders Month. So every day this month is Founders Month. And I believe that God is going to help us. So later on in the program, we are going to have a something. So don't rush too quickly out. The streaming branches and cathedral, stay together with us because it's going to be lit, like they say at youth. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. We wish to greet the presiding bishop of the house and apologize for everybody who passed the message to Ding Dong him. We apologize on their behalf. There was a strong amen. It was not their fault. They were part of a team. In a team, there's planners, and in the team, there's those that must go lobby. So we appreciate that. We want to also appreciate and greet my bishop, Overseer Gegesono. We say we love and we appreciate you. I know earlier on she was at the back. Oh, there's mama there. Can we just give my bishop a powerful... If I were you, I could have stood. You know that? If I were you, I would have stood with my 2 feet and just love him, love her. Give God praise and appreciate. I'm not feeling it, Grace Bible Church. No, I'm not feeling it. Hallelujah. We appreciate you big time. Big time. This morning, by the grace of God, as we preach your word, as we look into your word, we pray, great I am, that it will reach me, everybody here, the branches, the cathedrals that are streaming, that we will receive your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We welcome even all our bishops and all our overseers who are at the different cathedrals. Bishop Kenneth Ulmer, when he was here in one of his visits, on invitation by our presiding bishop, here on the pulpit ministering, said the following words that I believe were not just words from his sermon, but a direct message from God to you and I. You see, Grace Bible Church, the winds of change are blowing. And sooner you and I align, the easier things will be. Bishop Ulmer articulated the following words. There is a mantle and grace that rests in this house. To be the light in the darkness of the of this nation for the last days. He said, that which God has ordained to and through this house cannot be contained in this house. It's 1,000 churches. He said, it is too big for this house. I add, it's a ministry without walls. It is too majestic, he said, for this house. And he used an analogy saying, you cannot hide a whale. That which God has ordained before the foundations of the world to do through this house was designed and decreed to touch the nations. And he said, the nations will take note what I am doing to you and through you, Grace Bible Church. He says, the influence of this house will reach the nations. Influence. He says, the integrity of this house will spread like fire. He says, the infiltration of this house will be in every township, every city, every town, and every village by the power of God in the name of Jesus. And finally, he said, the impact of this house will even be seen in the life of the members of this house. It brings me therefore to this point. If this is what God has put up for Grace Bible Church, if God has touched the heart of our presiding bishop, as we hear every week, every time he gets an opportunity to speak to us, there's words that tell you that he is far in thinking. What he is seeing is not what I see. He sees beyond the other side. What he's trying to get us into is to align us so that we will not miss it as a church. Whether you are a pastor or whether you are not a pastor. The making of a leader. You see, leaders are servants. Leaders are laborers. Laborers in the field of God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus went throughout all the towns and the cities, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, when he saw, in our case, the nations, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. The places we must touch are many. The people we must minister to are too much. Then Jesus says something that makes my heart bleed. Because I don't understand, Jesus, when you have saved us, when you are doing these things for us, why should this verse be in this scripture? And he says, but even though the harvest is plenty, even though the work is too much, even there's a lot to cover, he says, but the laborers are few. Help me understand God. It's almost like in Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, when the Bible says, and I sought for a man. It means, God, you had put people there. You expected somebody to be there to do the work. But when you came, chief inspector, to check if the work was done, you found the anointed folding their arms and not doing anything. The Bible tells us that Jesus says, the laborers are few. Help me understand. How can the laborers be few when the setman of the house is preaching for all these years, giving up his life for all these years, praying for us all these years, doing all what he needs for these years, when all of us come and they gravitate around here and we sit, but there is no sign? How can the laborers be few when God has anointed you, when you cried in the midnight hour and you said, God, here am I, use me. But when God comes and looks, he finds you are not at your post. He finds you are not where he wants you to be. Your desire is somewhere else prematurely. How is it, God, that when you call us and you nudge us in our hearts, we cannot respond? He said, the laborers. Then he turns it. You see, in the Bible, you realize that there are things that Jesus values. And one of the things that Jesus values is prayer. Remember, Jesus was man on earth, but yet was God. Listen to what he says. He says, Bona, what I see happening, there's only one solution. He says, Grace Bible Church, go to the God who has given Bishop Mosasono the vision. Go to the one who got him in his early ages of life to say, I'm calling you to be a pastor among my people. He says, go to him who had a vision and told him exactly what needs to be done. He says, go to him, and the Bible says, and ask the Lord of the harvest. So Jesus' solution, Bona, you don't pray for jokes, you pray for serious things. He says, this is so serious that we can't gravitate and we can't have a meeting about it. We can't have a conference about it. This needs God to step in. Because listen, there's only so much that his grace can do in the house. But there are things that God himself must touch our hearts as the sons and the daughters of this house, that we must dust off our feet. And some of the things that we've been doing, that it must show that we are moving forward. 1,000 churches is going to just come on its own. It needs men and women who are determined, who knows, who can hear the voice of God. I believe that the time has come for us to stop playing church. I believe the time has come for us to tell everybody who's trying to pull us into the wrong side to say, I'm committing myself to do the work of God. Jesus says, pray. Pray, Jesus. Pray, Jesus. Are we not going to do a recruitment? Jesus says, this one is about prayer. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to give you laborers. My heart bleeds because Jesus is saying, pray that God will get the internal people to see they are the harvest. They are the laborers. He says, pray. So he said, among those who are praying, God will steer some of them to respond. Pray. The New King James Version says, pray for the Lord of the harvest. You see, this brings an attention because this is critical. The Message translation says, on your knees and pray. Listen to the expression, on your knees and pray for harvest hands. Grace Bible Church, where are your hands? Grace Bible Church, where are your hands? What are you doing with your time that God has given you? What are you doing with the resources that God has given you? What are you doing with the anointing that God has given you? What are you doing with the groups that God has given you? God says the laborers are few. Where this church is going cannot afford few laborers. Where this church is going, when the announcement comes to say we are putting chairs in the truck, it shouldn't be one person must put 30 chairs. Everybody must at least take a chair. Where this church is going, that means when we say it's Anakazo Sunday, that no empty seats allowed. Everybody must do their part because we understand that the time is difficult. Grace Bible Church, where are your harvest hands? Jesus values the commitment of visible and hands-on leaders, not critics. It is important, therefore, that as a leader, you stick up the preparation phase. Just to be clear, God will not jump out of heaven to come here on earth and open a school in room one or room two, room four, or in the chapel or anywhere and train you. God will touch his servant, the set man, to be the one who trains you. The beauty about God's training is that he doesn't allow you to choose your own trainer, because he knows that you've got staff that you might not agree with. You need the particular trainer who will be able to deal with your character, with your attitude, with the things that you don't want. Sometimes we gravitate to people that accept everything that we want to do, that want to say yes to everything we want to say, that want to approve everything we want to do. But God, because he loves you, he says, not that one, but this particular leader, I will take you to Elijah, that when you want to follow him, he'll tell you, don't follow me. I'll take you to a difficult leader, that when you sit under their ministry, it is not only the teaching you get, but it is the impartation. I believe in impartation in a leader's life, that it comes out of somebody and it gets rubbed on you. So, where are your harvest hands? God takes you very seriously, and he takes you through his own school that he has accredited. He takes you to his own school that he has set the bar high for. He takes you to his own school of preparation where the standard is high. He sets an exam and it is marked without fear and favoritism. Philippians. You see, every leader who God uses in any capacity must first be prepared for their function. We don't like preparation because it feels like it's delaying. We don't like preparation because it feels like people have not had God. I submit, you are not the only one who hears God. Your leader knows what you don't know, sees what you don't see, was given the call by God. You see, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God who works in you. God works in you. He comes in my stubborn life, and God works in me. Not just it makes me love this ministry business, love this ministry life, love this serving. God nudges it. And in the midst of that, now God must work with my will, because I'm stubborn. I want to do this, I want to do that. But God knows that if you go left, this is how it's going to pan out. But if you stay with what I'm having, if you stay with what I'm telling you, things will work out. Let me tell you, it's better to be in God's team than in the who's team. It's better to be anointed for the things of God when God is calling, more than being anywhere else. So God says, and he's working to do it according to his good pleasure. God divinely ordered vision for your life. Please let us submit. It is God's vision in your life and not my life. I did not call God to a conference and gave him vision. You did not call God to a conference and give him vision. He saw you, whether struggling or not, and said, that's my candidate. This one can talk. I will take him through lessons to talk. This one can do this. I will be there. Let's be honest, many people, when you came to Grace Bubble Church, speaking was not one of your favorite things. You prepared other people to go in front. But look at what God has done. Now you can stand in a cell group and facilitation skills that you learned from the church. Now you can come and lead this particular team. Why? Because when God looked at you, he looked beyond what you couldn't do. But after that, what do? We say, thank you very much, God. Try next door. Yes, Lord, I'll say it. There is no perfect church. Grace Bubble Church was perfect until somebody came. Until I came, I added imperfection. Now don't judge me. Until you came, you added your bit. So we are a people that God is interested in. Because the vision of this church is big. You can't afford to be a bench warmer anymore. The winds of change are blowing. I said the winds of change are blowing. You see, God's timing is perfect in a preparation. You see, God is not interested in our own personal assessments of readiness. But let's be honest. If we allow you, without anybody judging you, to tell us which position in this church you would prefer to be at, we would all dream. You would all dream. As you saw the presiding bishop in a red jacket, some of you stood there thought, I would be nice in that jacket. Listen, yeah. You think I didn't know. I saw you. I had it in your heart. But balance the scores. When my bishop cleans the carpet, desire that too. I know why you are not clapping. No, I know why you are not clapping. I know why you are not clapping. For a while, God will be working in you to prepare for the acts that He wants. Let's quickly talk about what happens when you skip preparation phase. What happens? Preparation is important to anybody who desires to serve, whether in your company, in the church, anywhere. Enjoy preparation season. At least you can have an excuse to say, I'm still learning. I preached one day at a particular church. Hey, and I was going for it. My goodness, I was going for it. Spit everywhere. And I said a scripture, and the church were all standing. Hallelujah. So when I get home, I evaluate, and I just said, Joe, I misquoted the scripture. And everybody was saying, hallelujah. You see, there are certain stages that do not accommodate such. I remember one day I was doing a funeral. Did the funeral, preached, and whatever, we go to the graveside. When I went to the graveside, I forgot what I must say. I know there was an ash. I know, Mara, it was not coming. Everybody is standing and everybody is looking at me. They are all looking at me. By the grace of God, Pastor Goba was standing next to me, and I just turned and I just said, Mfunisi Goba, Mouse Holy Baba. No, they didn't know. They didn't know what happened. Imagine if he was not there. This is a hollow band. And he took it, Baba, with Christmas. I said, hallelujah. So preparation. Yatusa. Yeah. One of my colleagues some years ago got sick, and a group of ministers went to the hospital to go pray. This particular group of ministers, they really did a lot of house visit to take condolences by Lotsidis. When they got to the hospital and they were praying for him, one of them says, Mudimu wa rona muhela umphefumulo wakhe. So they were praying for my soul to go. Pazan, there are platforms that if you are not prepared. Nahana kito uchakela kospetele, sekiri mkulungkula mgele umphefumulo wakhe. I must pray for healing. So preparation. But then, don't mind if your department head makes you do practicals 5 times. It's all right. Don't mind, Kairos member, to get more training. It's all right. It's not ending with you. It's not starting with you. Preparation. Couple of points. What happens when we skip the preparation phase? Number one. You, not your crew, you, not your clique, you will crack and wither under pressure and heat, because you did not gradually get built up through the processes and preparation. Hey, Bazan, some things are okay for you to desire from afar. Mara, that is not an excuse to draw closer in time. If you don't allow to be trained, when it comes and the rubber hits the road, you will be in big trouble. There's nothing as sad like premature self-promotion. No, bazalwane, a re bue nnete. Ha o itsheba bona gore eish, if e ne le nna, I would have said it this way. No. Let's exchange roles. There was one day, we're preparing, God, Bishop had sent us an outline of sermons. Hey, Bazan, I was touched in my hand. I'm like, this is, Bazan, you must see how Bishop prepares, ne? Hey, you must, by the way, it's his notes that I'm using. Oh, yeah, it's true. No, it's true. It is true. I get a lawyer, you know, to that plastic pastor in Wadibu, our kids are bishop. Or as I was thinking. And Mazalan, I realized to say, yo, this is difficult. Imagine if we had to prepare at this level every week. Look at when the potter is working on the clay. Whatever it is putting together or creating, when the pressure is exerted, it may crack. Listen to what Mark chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It says, some seeds fell on the ground. My goodness. Where it did not have much earth means there was no soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth on earth. It was a fella on the stones. But then the sun was up. It was scorched. And it became... And because it had no root, it withered away. Training is like a seed. That depends on your heart. If your heart is fertile ground, there will be results. But if your heart is marking the register, it will show. Yeah, but some of the things we can't see, Gamashwarun. But it's when life happens to one or you, what happened? To you who's here today, maybe you have not received Christ in your life. Maybe you've been living on your own. As this word is preached, maybe you think it doesn't matter. Can I just encourage you? Sit up and listen. Because Jesus doesn't want the seed in your life to fall on stones or rocks. Jesus wants it to reach your heart so that you also can become part of the preparation that he's doing. There's something he wants to prepare you for, but the first step is for you to say yes. Towards the end, I would want to pray for you that you also don't miss out on what God is doing. You see, your preparation and learning season is not an attack from Satan. You cannot pray it away, prayer warrior. You cannot change God's mind with your tears. You can't even persuade your leader. Otherwise, it's God's timing. Number two, thank you for that hint. Number two, you will plateau and never grow beyond certain levels. But Zalana, there are levels in these things. Yeah, every department, every area, every team that you serve in, there are levels. Some of these levels are not visible to the naked eye. No, they're not visible to the naked eye. But they're not visible to the naked eye. Just because you don't have a cross like me. No. It doesn't say much. But where you are, can you serve and do your best, leader? That when God looks at you, when one day we stand in heaven, that your reward and my reward. By the way, our rewards are not title-based. Our rewards are not title-based. So if I fall short on being prepared... The interesting thing is this. All of us, when we begin, things blossom. But how many of us know that in time may not be sustained? The good thing about training is that what you learned in level one, you can use in level two and edit in level three and edit in level four. By the time you get to level five, it is all of them together. That's why the Bible tells us that all things work for the good. It is not one. It is not two. It is all them coming together. So when we are taught to come early, it is another level. When we're taught to submit reports on time, it is another level. When we are taught to be committed, to be loyal, it is another level. Number three, what happens when you skip the preparation phase? As you lead without going through preparation, your rough edges and your bitter fruit will simultaneously destroy what you are building. You see, preparation will smooth you out. Preparation will shine you. Preparation will even protect you. Preparation will protect others from you. Preparation will even protect the environment that you are in. I know that you know, but there's something else that you don't know. John chapter 15, verse 2, the Bible says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Please, Mzalwana, what God cuts through his word, through desires and actions of your life, through other people helping you, don't take it on the floor and replant it yourself. Or may I say, don't take it and engraft it in your life. The master saw it fit that it must go. Just like that one friend who's ever critical of your pastor that labors in prayer for you. Yeah, you've never heard them say anything good about him. You've never heard them say anything, but you gravitate around them. Isn't it like what happened to Paul when they were stoning Stephen? They were stoning. He might not have been stoning, but una tsuri diaparotsabon. So it means at some point, we must make sure, children of God, that our rough edges and our bitter fruits are sorted. Practical. But you see, these practicals, in our case, as leaders and as servants, they deal with the little foxes. You see, you will lose the good thing that God is doing because of the little foxes. We don't want people to say, yeah, he is good, he is anointed, but there's this rough edge. A leader must know that people are not machines. Even machines, you take care of them. Yeah, we don't use the term, kijwalo. No, you are not like that. You are allowing yourself to be like that. Don't break up our teams with the kijwalo mentality. Trust God to change you. At least be nice. No, you are not strict. You need help. Take it or leave it. No, it's the house of the Lord. Everybody invited, welcome. No perfect people allowed. She is helpful, but lack of preparation will put the buds in your testimony. Number four, what happens when you skip the preparation phase? You'll become inflated with pride because of being promoted prematurely. Sometimes we make mistakes. Every leader has their special case. Every leader. Me included. That you said, Mara, after a while, you put on Mara, God, I know I prayed. Mara, did I pray long enough? Because, So what happens is that if you don't work on your pride, it that's it's important for us, Bazalan, to take note of the lessons we have before our eyes. Our senior leaders, they are everywhere and anywhere. In our church, there's no pastoral VIP preferential treatment. There is no let me add this one. There is no VIP ambition. We are servants. One funeral got Free State. I don't know. Of black. That's ministry. And after the color is no longer black. You see, pride. You see, preparation allows you to see the real work. Preparation allows you the opportunity to realize what is happening. Hence, no place for pride. Because pride comes before a fall. If you come with your accolades and flying them high, then your heart is not where it's supposed to be. Pride is said among servant leaders as you shine with a borrowed shine. That's a problem about pride. It doesn't tell you to say, Seba tuba sibona, hasisa how, it's borrowed. It's borrowed. We are delegated, we are assigned, like we've just seen, we are commissioned, we are appointed. It's not by ourselves. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, it says, an elder must not be a new believer because he might become proud. The Message translation says, he must not be a new believer, lest the position go to his head and the devil trip him up. The way Moth translation says, he ought not to be a new convert for fear he would be blinded with pride and come under the same condemnation as the devil himself. Preparation will mature you. Number five, your past may creep up and become a hindrance for your forward motion. Preparation allows you to hang around people that God has pruned over the years. We learn at times from copying, from having mentors, from having fathers in this journey. When around other people, you put yourself together. In Cape Town, we say, uziti fetch. Yeah, uziti fetch. Like, gather yourself. Gather yourself. Gather yourself. There's things you don't say. There's jokes, leader, that you don't say. You don't want to stick out for the wrong reasons. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, he must also have a good reputation. Araskanjalo reseka di cases a leader osa patalindi koloto as I move along. Let me close. How do you then cooperate with God as he makes you? How do I cooperate with God? How do I make sure that I don't miss out on what God is doing? Number one, submit is the operative word. Submit under leadership. Not friendship, leadership. Submit under leadership and harness your leadership capacity without murmuring. Submit quietly. You see, when you're under submission, there are good days and there are bad days. There are easy days and there are difficult days. Yours is one, learn. 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 I'm not saying stand up for abuse. No, no, no. Learn. What is the goal? Learn. I get it, parents, when you advise your children at school and there's a subject they don't like and they are always blaming the teacher. No, not about the teacher. You're not there for the teacher. You're there for the school, for learning. So parents, learn as well. You are not here for assessment of character, whatever. You're here to learn. Learn. You might not click with everybody, but I have your goal. I'm going to learn. Barcelona, have grace to see where God has anointed somebody. One or more, get away to da. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, see, aye, mara more, get away to da. How about a left, get a left? How about a right, get about Ubatanko, right, get so you call left, get a chicken halfway, get quality. Why? I'm on a learning curve because I understand that preparation. No lesson in preparation is a waste. Number two, feed your burden for where God has placed you. Where God has put you, feed your burden for where God has placed you. Where God is nudging you, leader, servant, feed yourself there. If it's counseling, learn how to talk to people. Once you say it's young people, they are like that. Forget. They will not hear you. They are sitting there nicely looking at you, but they hear zero. Feed. Feed. Say, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to make my deliberate action in life. Get active. Get your hands dirty, Bazalwane. Feed it. I don't know why, but I find as you do, you discover more. You understand yourself more. Number three, get your emotional side under control. Get your emotional side under control. But then, sometimes we must learn to serve pelu di le botlhoko. But sometimes you must learn to serve otlotsa. And we don't say what we don't do. In one time, somehow, I had to go for another surgery. I mean, that Sunday, I stood on the pulpit with two drains on the left and on the right, and I was preaching good, my friend. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. It was not a pity party to say, no, no, you're doing the work of God. Why? Because if our emotions will take the better of us, there will never be a perfect day for you to stand. I know how is it to preach. What's going on? Mara, you don't say grace news. Today I am seeing stars. And no, we go for it, Bazalan. Bazalan, we go for it. We go for it. Let your emotions be arrested. I know how to do three services with ease. I will sleep after. I will sleep after. So other people, now can't. I mean, really? And now it's becoming worse. Any... Any... Leaders, WhatsApp groups are not to deflate a Sunday morning. Leaders, loud or who, why? Ask any HOD or any pastor, they'll tell you. Once one person starts to say apology in the WhatsApp group, it's almost like there's an invite. Apology. Get your emotional side. And when you get your emotional side, manage your expectation. Just do it for God. Don't do it because. Do it for God. Don't do it because. Do it for God. Isengore o so makilo re stulo sele. My size. Number four. Fight familiarity spirit. A lot of people, servants, leaders, we are led by people that sometimes we have 1, 2, 3 more than them. Bless your heart. But when it comes there, they are your leader. When it comes there, they are your leader. So your expectations should be this. I am where God wants me to be when God wants me to be. This is what I say in my heart. Don't put a label on me because it's going to be a problem. I am what God wants me to be when he wants me to do it for the reason that he wants to do it. That's it. If God at that moment wants me to win this soul right there, I must do it. If God, you know, the opportunity is to move a chair, whatever it is. That's what leaders and servants are. They multitask. And when we fight familiarity, embrace a positive teachable spirit. Yeah, have a teachable spirit. But don't sit there because you know and you don't listen. This is what I've learned. Anybody that stands in front of me is the prophet of God over my life for that moment. So if honor is disconnected from there, I've missed out. Number five, almost done. Pace yourself. Skaja. Kairos, 6 years. How many years do doctors study? I don't know, when it comes to the church, we are judged with a different eye. Pace yourself. In God's appointed time, you will arrive. But what causes you to arrive is how you handle the travel from where you are to where God is taking you. Pace yourself. It's a process. It's a journey. Number six. Pray for the people God is nudging you to serve. Whatever area that God as a servant leader is nudging you to be involved, pray for those people. Pray for the department. Pray for that area. What I find is that if you pray for them, if you pray for it, you begin to love them. There's nothing as beautiful like serving and leading people that you genuinely love. Yeah. And I'm not talking love in a little salt and pepper. I'm not talking that. I'm not there yet. I'm talking about pure agape. Yeah, pure agape. Finally, how do you cooperate with God as He builds? Invest incredible friendships. Godly friends help us to align. They will not overlook the process because of our favor. They will tell you just as it is. You see, Luke 12:48, the Bible says, but he did not know yet committed things, deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. Let me say two groups here. If you are not yet serving in the church, rise up, for your time has come. How lo robala monate kajin? No, it's true. Let's not lie. How lo robala monate kuri kurburoko abukho ngamhlanje. Until we hear, am I, Lord? Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Number two, maybe you are serving. Mara has gripped you. Just say, Mudim, today I'm making a turn. Harvest hands will not be missed in this house. My fingerprints would be on God's work. Finally, number three. Maybe you are sitting here and asking, what is God preparing in my life? What is this thing all about? For you, God is preparing for you to see how much He loves you, how much He values you, how much He can change your life. For you, God wants just to nudge your heart and ask you to give Him a chance, because if you draw closer to Him, He will do so much. God today is calling your name because you are far. Maybe you are far because of the things you've done. Maybe you are far because you didn't know. Whatever the reason, but today God says you are in the right place at the right time. God says, if you will do the coming, I will do the saving. I will do the covering. God says, if you will say yes to Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. And in a short while, I'm going to pray for you, because we value you in this church. We value the good work that we believe that God is going to do in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes in the presence of the Lord? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, maybe you are here today. Maybe somebody invited you to church. Maybe you decided on your own. Maybe you are not in this campus here in Pimville. Maybe you are at a cathedral. Maybe you are there in a branch. But you know that things are not right between you and God. But today you want that to change, because you understand the importance of a preparation stage. You also want to say, God, count me as those that you will prepare for greatness. If you are here this morning and you say, please, sir, I need Jesus in my life. I want to be a child of God. I'm tired of living life my own way. I'm tired of going around. I see things are not working out. But today I realize that there is a Savior called Jesus. If that's you, sir, if that's you, ma'am, today, and you need prayer to receive Jesus in your life, to be a child of God, for your sins to be forgiven, for you to start afresh a relationship with God, I want to say a prayer for you, because it is an important decision. Maybe you are invited by somebody, or you came on your own. Wherever you are, in this campus, in a cathedral, in a branch, and he said, please, I don't want to miss this opportunity. I need Jesus in my life. I need God to intervene. I need God to help me. I want to be born again. Where you are seated, may I humbly ask you, please, lift up your hand and say, that's me. I need that prayer, and I'm going to pray for you as the ushers would help me to see. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm tired. I'm tired, sir, of living life my own way. I'm tired of living life my own way. Wherever you are seated, lift it up high. Bless you there. Anybody else? Bless you. Lift up that hand. Bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? You say, today is the day for my change. Today is the day of my salvation. Wherever you are in this auditorium or in a cathedral or in a branch, if you need Jesus, lift up your hand. God is calling you because you are important to him. Any hand that I miss, lift it up now. Lift it up now because God is making room for you. The second thing I want to ask you humbly, please. If your hand is lifted up, or you didn't lift up your hand, but you know you should have. You know you want this prayer. You know you need this prayer. May I humbly ask you, please, where you are, would you stand on your feet right now? Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet, please. Please stand. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Don't worry. Stand. If you invited somebody, it's a good time to encourage them. If you've got somebody close to you, it's a good time to say, "You, I can stand with you. I will stand with you." Anybody that's still seated, stand at the branch of the cathedral. Stand. Don't sit. This is a call from God for you. Anybody else that was seated, anybody else that didn't lift up their hand, but you ought to be standing. Stand right now wherever you are. I want to pray for you as I promised. And I pray for you. Preparation means I will stand against the odds. Preparation means I will fight for my salvation. This is what I want to ask, please. Whether you're standing or not standing, whether you lifted up your hands or you didn't, but you know that you can't go back home the same. Please, sir. Please, ma'am, take this opportunity. In a short while, I'm going to ask all these brothers and sisters to come for prayer. And I want you, as they come, nobody will put you back because you didn't stand or you didn't raise up your hand. But today is a day for your change, I can tell you. On a count of three, whether you lifted up your hand or not, whether you stood or not, when I say three, I want you to take your Bible, your bag, your belongings, and I want you to meet me here in the front. I want you to pray for you and hear how the church is excited here and the cathedrals and the branches for your coming. One, two, three. Come wherever you are. Come. I call you in the name of Jesus. Come. I'm calling you in the name of Jesus. Come. Come everywhere you are. Come wherever you are. Come wherever you are. This is my life. I am in my happy spot. So before I pray, in case I missed you, in case I was not clear, but you know, sir, you can't let Satan take you down. Young person, you know, your life Satan is not gonna steal. Ma'am, sir, now I want to ask you before I pray, whether you are still there, walk in the front and say, Satan, as I walk to receive Jesus, I am getting everything that was stolen in me, in my life. Yes, and yes, you come. If you are sitting next to somebody, nudge them, ask them, do you want to go receive Jesus? I will go with you. Ask your neighbor, the one on the left, the one on the right, just before we pray, so that we make sure nobody's left your hand. Keep on clapping. Keep on clapping, keep on clapping, keep on clapping. Come on, keep on clapping, keep on clapping. Come, keep on clapping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to pray for you now. But you know, Satan is not smart. When you entered this, it was game over. As I pray for these people, and maybe you were scared, I'm going to ask the church to close their eyes as we pray. Sneak in. In heaven, the reward is not who came first or last. The issue is that in Genil. As I pray, come from wherever you are. Nobody's going to stop you. And you come and receive Christ. He's a Christ that is able to deal with drug addiction. He's a Christ that is able to deal with kidney failure. He's a Christ that is able to deal with whatever sickness and disease. He's a Christ that is able, He's able. Stretch your hands towards these amazing people. All of you in the front, I respect every single one of you. What makes today special for me is that you came to Jesus on the day that we are celebrating our presiding bishop's birthday. So you can't forget your date of salvation, the 3rd of April, 2022. I'm going to pray for you like I promised. And after I pray for you, we are going to lead you out for the counselors just to have a word with you, just to help you understand the steps that you have taken. And I believe that God is going to do good things in your life. Would you raise your hands to heaven? It's just a way of saying, God, I surrender. Set your hands towards them. Heavenly Father, thank you for every single young person, children, adults that said yes to you. We pray that even as they go to pray, the prayer of salvation, that their journey with you will be a fruitful one. Touch their hearts. Strengthen them to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.